Consider what it means to eat dust. Consider what it means to crawl on your belly. I have another theory that, again, it's just a theory, that when it talks about the serpent having to crawl on his belly and eat dust, I have a feeling it might be referring to a class of entities that would be bound to have to live under the ground, that they would be constrained to life beneath the surface of the earth, that they would eat dust, they would be beneath the feet of men. So what was the serpent? Well, we know the devil was involved, for sure. Satan, because the book of Revelations tells us the dragon, that serpent of old, right? So we know the dragon was involved, that serpent of old. When it says a serpent of old, of course, it's referencing the serpent. That's why the serpent, the snake, is a symbol of the devil, because of the Garden of Eden, and probably because he probably has some adder-like attributes. By the way, there's nothing wrong with a snake. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with a serpent. So we look at a serpent as being unlovely because of the Garden of Eden, right? We have a natural aversion to a snake because of the Garden of Eden. It's sort of ingrained in us because we're children of Adam and Eve. We're the offspring. And it was this situation with the serpent in the garden that caused us to be bound to this terrible condition of sin and death, which the cross rectifies. So, when we think about it in those terms, all right, so the devil is implicated with the serpent, for sure. That serpent of old, the devil. But does that mean that the serpent was the devil himself? Or does that mean that the serpent was another entity that was influenced or perhaps even possessed by the devil? I don't know. Was it the devil himself? Or was it an entity influenced or possessed by the devil? But if it wasn't the devil himself, if it was an entity, let's call it a serpentine entity, sentient, that was influenced by the devil or inhabited by the devil. Remember, we know that this is not something that is uncommon to the devil. Remember, the devil used Peter, the apostle, to try and divert the plan of the Father for Jesus to go to the cross when Jesus spoke of his death. Peter basically said, "This can't be, right?" And what did Jesus say to him? He looked at Peter and he addressed the devil who was working through Peter. So, which is very interesting. It's very telling the way that the devil operates. He was using Peter to try and dissuade Christ, which tells us a lot about the devil, that he had some sort of knowledge of what Christ was about to do because he was trying to dissuade him from doing it. That the Son of Man must die, right? And so here's the devil using Peter to tell him, no, you shouldn't do that. You don't have to do that. And Jesus instantly recognizes it as Satan and rebukes him, looking at Peter, rebuking the devil. So that in and of itself provides us with context of how it might have been in the Garden of Eden with another entity. That wasn't necessarily the devil himself, but an entity perhaps possessed, definitely influenced, at the very least, by the devil. Is it possible that this entity, this serpentine entity, was somehow offspring of the devil? I don't know. Does the possibility exist? I would say it at least exists. Might be remote, but at least exists. It exists. So, if we're dealing with an entity that was not the devil himself, but that was an entity either possessed, influenced, or the offspring of the devil, then we might be dealing with a whole class of sentient beings that were constrained to live in the caverns of the earth beneath our feet. Serpentine entities that were pre-Adamic that have to live in the caverns of the earth, or have to live beneath our feet and eat dust, in other words, be constrained to crawl on their bellies. which might very well be a metaphor. All of these things might be a metaphor for they're underneath the earth. The whole hollow earth situation. It's plausible. And it certainly would explain a lot of different encounters that people have with these kinds of serpentine entities, especially under the ground.
How would the genetics of Cain survive the flood?
A number of different ways. There's a handful of possibilities. First of all, we know nothing in the ocean died, right? People forget that. So it's interesting when you consider that the animals in the sea did not die. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that everything that was on the land died.
Right.
That was on the surface of the earth died. But the whales and the sharks and so forth, there's no indication that any of those creatures died. And where do we see the prehistoric roots in the animal kingdom? We see them in the aquatic creatures, don't we? We see the prehistoric roots in these aquatic creatures more than anything else,
mm-hmm.
Such as crocodiles and, you know, different kinds of fish that obviously have some sort of prehistoric genetics going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. All the animals that would have needed land to survive would have died. I mean, it was a very long time that the earth was submerged in water. So every kind of bird and every kind of animal, beast of the field, bird of the air, insects and so forth would have perished. And of course, humans and other sentients, mm-hmm. unless they were able to survive A, in the water,
mm-hmm.
or B, they were able to get off of the planet into the atmosphere before the scenario took place. Or their genetics were preserved and reintroduced afterwards in some kind of an abduction scenario. Of course, there's always the option of a second incursion, what's called a second incursion, that more fallen angels fell and did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't subscribe to that so much. I it's a possibility, but I'm not a subscriber of a second incursion, because the first incursion created monstrous giants. If there was a second incursion, it did not.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another possibility that the technology and the teachings of the Watchers were discovered as described. One of the sons of Noah finds a tablet,
mm-hmm.
with some of the teachings of the Watchers, maybe some of the incantations of the Watchers. Maybe he was able to conjure some of these entities. Remember, the spirits of the Nephilim, of the giants, and I think all of the hybrids that were neither human nor angelic, something in between,
mm-hmm.
were judged and were sentenced to walk the earth bodiless,
mm-hmm.
desiring food, desiring water, desiring having sexual desires, but not being able to fulfill any of the desires of the flesh. Those are what are called unclean spirits.
Yeah.
They knew they were forced to walk the earth bodiless. So these are disembodied spirits wandering the earth, having all of the desires of flesh, but having no flesh with which to fulfill those desires. Very torturous situation. And these are called unclean spirits. The Book of Enoch tells us they will be called unclean spirits on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
What does Jesus call the demons that inhabit people in the New Testament? Unclean spirits. These spirits knew that there was a judgment. They knew that the time of their judgment would come until the judgment. Mm-hmm. They were told they would wander the earth until the judgment. And they knew who the judge was. Because when Jesus showed up, they said, "We know who you are,
yeah.
Son of the Most High God. Why have you come to torment us before the appointed time?"
Mm-hmm.
So these are the spirits of the Nephilim, the unclean spirits, recognizing the one who would come and judge them, recognizing that this was the Son of God hidden away, hidden from the eyes of the Israelites, hidden even from the prophets, and revealed only in dark sayings and, you know, sort of concealed language, referencing this, the advent of the coming of Christ, the first coming. It was hidden away. This was a mystery that was revealed in the New Testament, the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
It was a mystery that wasn't fully revealed until the apostles were given the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the doctrine of the apostles explaining to us who this man, Jesus, really was. See? So this was the unveiling of the revelation of Christ, which these unclean spirits knew about. They knew he was the one who was coming. They knew it. And so suddenly he appears. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't know who he was, but the unclean spirits did.
Right.
You are the Son of the Most High God. Not just a Son of the Most High God, not just some great prophet. You are the Son, the only begotten Son of the Most High God, the Judge of the earth. Why are you here now? So obviously they didn't understand that Christ was coming to die to redeem us yet. They didn't understand that.
Right.
They only knew, these unclean spirits, these very ancient entities, these hybrids, only knew that Christ, that the Son of God would come to judge. They didn't know he would come to redeem first in the form of a man.
Right.
They only recognized him as the judge. And they were messing their drawers, for lack of a better term, saying, wait a minute, the time hasn't come yet. Why are you here now? This can't be. And what did Jesus tell them? Basically, he told them to shut up, to not tell anybody who he was. That's what he told them. He didn't want them to tell men who he was. They knew that he was the Son of the Most High. But he didn't want it to be from the testimony of demons that they believed him. He wanted it to be from the testimony of Scripture, from his own words, and from the works that he performed. Those were the that was what bore witness that he was the Son of God, the Scriptures. These are those which speak of me, he told the Pharisees. You search the Scriptures, right? These are those which speak of me. Number one. Number two, if you don't believe me for the words that I speak, because that's the second thing, then at least believe me for the works that I'm doing.
Yeah.
He didn't want faith in him to come as a result of the testimony of the unclean spirits who knew who he was. Interesting. Interesting paradigm. So these unclean spirits were obviously the spirits that existed in the world before the flood of Noah. Were the entities, they weren't spirits at the time. They became spirits when their bodies were destroyed. The unclean spirits, they were in the earth before and after the flood. So they were in the earth. So there could have been something involving them that reconstituted the genetics. Now, it's not a far stretch. Today, we can take the genetics of any animal, of any life, plant or animal life on this earth, and preserve it.
Yeah.
Easily, we can preserve the genes of whatever we want to. So if that technology existed before the flood, certainly the genetics could have been preserved in some form. I mean, there's a multitude of options that are available. I don't believe the genes came through. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It's also an option that the genes came through either the sons of Noah or their wives. To me, it's less likely. The second incursion and the genes coming through Noah's family are the least likely. But somehow it happened.
Yeah.
Take your pick of all the options and many more, which I probably haven't even mentioned. So certainly it could have been some sort of an abduction scenario. That by the way, the doors to these abductions, to these encounters are often opened through the occult. They just don't happen. They happen usually with people who are some way, shape, or form involved in the occult.
Yeah.
Even in many cases. Again, I encourage people, if you're interested in abduction stuff, ufology and abductions, read Carla Turner. Read Carla Turner. Now, her material is free online. One of the foremost and first investigators into the whole abduction scenario, and one of the best, one of the very best, completely undefiled by all this other new age stuff. She took the raw data, including the stuff that was happening in her own life, and she analyzed it from a very objective viewpoint. And so if you factor in the abduction scenario then that could easily answer many questions. I
Yeah.
don't remember what I was going to say about that. I had a point before I mentioned Carla Turner, but it's certainly an abduction scenario could. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. This is very important. So if you do the research, you'll find out that many people who are abductees have some sort of a connection to the occult. Even as simple as having visited one time a psychic, even just visiting a psychic one time opened the door for an abduction event. So that tells you, that's very telling. That tells you that the whole alien phenomena, the UFOs and so forth, I'm very firmly in the camp of those who believe that it is a nuts and bolts physical phenomena. It's also spiritual. It's both. It's both and. It's not if or. I mean, it's not either or. It's both and. It tells you the fact that you can go to a psychic, go get your palm read, thinking this is just maybe something stupid or fun or innocent. Suddenly, you're being abducted by aliens. There's something occultic there. There's a door that was open. There's permission. There's authority that was given. You gave authority, you opened a door, and suddenly the grays show up at the side of your bed. Just because you visited we had your palm read, you went to a psychic. It's that simple. So it could be that at some point in time, the teachings of the Watchers were rediscovered. Some sort of magic was performed, incantation, opened the door for the UFO stuff, right? They came, they appeared on the scene because some human being opened the door for them, just like after World War II or during World War II when the Nazis were opening the gates with all the occult, and then suddenly we get all the UFO stuff happening. That's not a coincidence. They're connected. And the groundwork was laid in the 19th century with Helena Blavatsky and all the occultic stuff that was happening, the rise of spiritualism and the occult. Culminated in the opening of the door to all of this UFO stuff. Also, Aleister Crowley, of course. They're not mutually exclusive. They're very much connected one to another. So, if the teachings of the Watchers were rediscovered by the sons of Noah, or one of them at least, or the offspring, it's very possible that rituals were performed, incantations were performed, and the doors were opened, the gates were opened for a reintroduction, a reappearing of these entities, whether pre-Adamic or pre-flood hybrid entities that had this technology, to come back on the scene and to reconstitute the DNA, reintroduce the DNA, their own DNA, or DNA from some of the Watchers or whatever, back into the human genome.